If you turn again in your Bibles to the first of the readings which we had from Luke and chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, chapter which contains three parables of Christ regarding that which was lost, and that which would be found. I want to draw your attention to the first of those parables of the sheep which was lost. And for a text, we will read from verses 5 and 6. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbours, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. I want to look at this parable of the lost sheep in three aspects. Firstly, the sheep. Secondly, the shepherd. And then finally, the finding of the sheep. The first thing I draw attention to is that which was lost, the sheep. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? Here we read of a shepherd who has lost a sheep. There are many things that we can say about sheep. But the first thing to note here is that they are sheep. It was a sheep which was lost, not goats. We read of sheep here. And sheep have a certain character and a certain nature. Sheep are not the brightest of creatures, or at least not in how they appear. They tend to follow one another. They tend to wander about. They tend to just live in the fields and eat the grass, and they're content as long as they're fed and watered. But if they are left without a shepherd, they wander about, they are lost, they fall in the ditch, they get caught in the bracken. Sheep in many ways are stupid, helpless, and weak. And in the scriptures we often read of this illustration of the sheep, and the flock, and the shepherd of the sheep. And mankind is often likened to sheep, God's people are often likened to sheep. For God's people are those who, like the sheep, have gone astray. And like the sheep, are prone to going astray. And like the sheep, need a shepherd to prevent them from going astray. And like the sheep, are helpless and are weak, are foolish and are wayward. Yes, there was a sheep which was lost. A sheep. Secondly, I'd point out that fact that they were lost. Here was a sheep which was lost. All we like sheep have gone astray. All God's people have gone astray. As it says in Isaiah in chapter 3 and verses 6 and 7, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have everyone turned to his own way, and the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. All we like sheep have gone astray. The sheep are lost. And mankind is lost. Mankind went astray from his Maker. When God created man and put him upon this earth, when God put man in the garden, when he created man male and female, it was not long before man turned his fist against his Maker and turned away from his Maker and his Maker's ways and rebelled against God in the garden and said, I will do things my way. I will decide which way I go, and turned against his God, and turn from the ways of righteousness and of peace, and turned into the ways of rebellion, and turned against his Maker, and sin entered. A man fell, a man went his own way, and all mankind followed. And though it was Adam in the garden who sinned against his Maker, all mankind has copied the example of his father Adam. And all mankind from the womb has gone astray. All mankind, every one which is born speaking lies, and is born seeking his own things and his own ways, is born with a selfish heart which desires his own things. All we like sheep have gone astray. None turns back to God by nature. None thinks to turn aside from the path in which everyone follows. Everyone heads in the same pathway. Everyone's heads seeking their own things and their own ways. We're all made the same. We're all of the same nature. We've all gone astray. We're all lost. As a consequence of our rebellion and our waywardness, we're lost. And left to ourselves, except there is some intervention, except there is one that comes to turn us from the path which we have chosen to take, and to turn us around and to put us upon a different path, we will carry upon that path. And we will head along that path until the day in which our life is drawn to a conclusion. Till the day in which death comes across our pathway, and which takes us out of this world and into the next, and which ushers us off this pathway which we have chosen to take, and brings us upon a different pathway from which we can never depart, and from which we can never escape. All we, like sheep, have gone astray and left astray. We will remain astray. Not just for time, but for eternity. Your sheep are foolish. Sheep go astray. Sheep are foolish. And the sheep are lost. And there's this sheep in this parable who was lost, who had gone astray. But there's something else I'd like to tell you about sheep, that sheep are vulnerable. They're vulnerable. They've not only gone astray, not only in their foolishness and their folly have they thought that they will go their own way and they will be all right. Not only has mankind, like sheep, gone astray and thinks that he will be all right, that he can govern his own pathway, that he needs not God, that he is self-sufficient. But the folly of his way is that if the truth be known, he is vulnerable. Like sheep, he is vulnerable. He is surrounded by predators. The sheep are vulnerable. There are predators all around them. They are prey to the wolves, which we read of in Matthew 10, which we read of in Acts 20. Wolves come in amongst the sheep and devour the sheep. Sheep are vulnerable to the lions and to the bear. In 1 Samuel 17 we read of David, who was a shepherd who tended the sheep. And David recounts how he fought off a lion with his own hands, how he protected the sheep from the bear. And yet the sheep are vulnerable to the wolves, to the lions, to the bear. They need a protector. And I tell you today, whether you are a sheep, or whether you are a goat, whatever you are vulnerable. And though you might think that you can protect yourself, you have many enemies which surround you, which are ready to slay you. Many enemies within and many enemies without. You are surrounded by predators. There are those things which will slay you and cast you into an eternity of darkness, except one come to rescue you. Sin will slay you. Satan will slay you. And in the end, death, the last enemy, will slay you and will take you in its claws and keep you forever. A predator from which there is no escape, except one comes to find that which is lost before it's too late. Before that sheep which is lost should fall in a ditch and should never be rescued. And except that predator which can never be escaped, death should come upon it. Yes, the sheep are lost. And the sheep are vulnerable. And the sheep need a rescuer, a protector. They need a shepherd like David to rescue them from the lion and from the bear and from the wolf. They need a shepherd. Sheep need protection. But God's sheep have a shepherd. God's sheep have a shepherd. I want to point you to that shepherd this day. That shepherd who left the 99 sheep who were safe in the sheepfold and was willing to leave the 99 and to go after that one which was lost until he found it. This shepherd of the sheep, God's sheep have a shepherd. The good shepherd, that shepherd of whom we read in John and chapter 10, the good shepherd, the one who is the shepherd of the sheep, the door, the one who is the door by which the sheep enter into the sheepfold, by which they find protection in the company of the flock, by which they are protected from those predators and those wolves which would come upon them. By whom they are rescued and saved, found and brought into peace and safety. This shepherd, a mighty shepherd, a good shepherd. Oh, this shepherd's like none other. David was a shepherd. David knew what it was to look after the sheep. David knew what it was to leave the sheep and go after that sheep which was lost. David knew what it was to wrestle with the predator, to wrestle with the lion which would slay his sheep. But here's a shepherd unlike any shepherd. David was a great and a loving shepherd, a brave shepherd, one who would, as it were, give his life for his sheep if it were. But here's a shepherd greater than David. Here's that shepherd to whom David was but a figure. The good shepherd. The good shepherd. Consider this shepherd and just who he is. He's the good shepherd. Then if good, this shepherd must be God. For there is none good but God. If truly good, if truly a good shepherd, he cannot be but God. And yea, this shepherd is God, for this shepherd is the Son of God. And not just the Son of God, but God himself. Not just God's Son, but God's eternal Son. The only begotten of the Father, one with the Father, equal with the Father, one God in three persons. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The Son of God. The majestic, the mighty, the glorious Son of God, this one who was so great, so majestic, so high, so mighty, almighty, the Son of God, the perfect, the righteous, the glorious Son of God, the Creator, the Good Shepherd. This is the Shepherd of the sheep. And this shepherd came to save that which was lost. He left the 99 for that one sheep which was lost. This one who was the creator of heaven and earth came into this world, made a little lower than the angels. He came for the suffering of death. He came for his sheep. He came for his own. He came for that which was lost. Yea, this shepherd, his love for his own is a love which we will never comprehend. His love for his own was so great that he should leave the glories of heaven, that he should leave his Father's side, that he should leave the safety and glory and wonder of what it was to lie in the bosom of the Father and to enter into this dark and this evil world, to enter into this world in which he would be rejected, this world which would not receive him. But his love for his own, for his flock, was that great, that he humbled himself, that he took upon himself flesh, that he was made a man, that he was made lower than the angels, that he came for that sheep. He came for them. He came for him. He came for that lost sheep. For he loves his sheep. He has compassion upon the sheep. As we read in Matthew 9 and verse 35, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." As sheep having no shepherd. This shepherd's heart was moved with compassion. He looked upon the multitudes, he saw them scattered, and because they fainted and were scattered abroad, he was moved with compassion. They were as sheep having no shepherd, and the shepherd came unto those sheep which were scattered, which were lost. He came unto them to find them, to find them. Yes, he came to find the sheep, to lay down his life for the sheep, to gather in the sheep. For he said to one other, he said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As we read in John in chapter 10 and verse 14, we read of this shepherd, this good shepherd. "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Here the good shepherd came for his sheep. He knows his sheep and is known of them. He's known of them. For in coming for his sheep, in laying down his life for the sheep, in so doing, he divides mankind into two. When Christ came for his sheep, when he came for the lost sheep of Israel, when he laid down his life for the sheep, in so doing, he divided the entire race of mankind into two. Into sheep and into goats. For mankind is divided into two. Not all mankind is spoken of as Christ's sheep. Whilst all may be described as sheep as having gone astray, not all are Christ's sheep. Not all are his sheep for whom he came. Mankind is divided into two. All mankind have gone astray, yes. But there are those who are sheep, and there are those who are goats. There are those who are Christ's, for whom he laid down his life, those whom he came to find, and there are those who are not. Who, like the Pharisees in John chapter 10, receive not his witness. They believe not on him. Why not? Because as Christ says unto them in verse 26, ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. There are those like the Pharisees who hear not his voice, and they believe not, because they are not his sheep. This mankind is divided into two. There are two types of people in this world. Two seeds, two offsprings. There are those who were born of Adam, and there are those who will also be born of the second Adam, the second man, the last Adam of Christ. There are sheep and there are goats. There are those who believe and there are those who don't believe. There are believers and unbelievers. There are children of God and there are children of the devil. You may fight against it all you will. You may contend against it all you will, but that is the simple truth declared in this book. Christ says, I lay down my life for the sheep. And he says of those who believe not on him. He says of those who receive not his witness, ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. That's the truth. This Christ laid down his life for the sheep and for none other. And all those for whom he laid his life, laid down his life, all those for whom he died will be gathered in on that great day of judgment. And they will be divided from all other. Turn to Matthew in chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31. Where we read of that day in which the Son of Man shall come in his glory. That day which approaches faster than we may think. That day which approaches all mankind upon this earth. We read of that day here. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from ye, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not unto one of the least of these, ye did it not unto me. and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. As there are sheep and there are goats. And I ask you today, which are you? Are you a sheep or are you a goat? Do you hear or do you reject? Do you give water and food to the least of these, Christ's brethren? Or do you pass them by and mock them and jeer them as you would unto their pastor and unto their shepherd? Are you a sheep or are you a goat? Which are you? Well, whose voice do you hear? The question is, whose voice do you hear? But there's a voice, you see. The shepherd has a voice, and the sheep hear his voice, and the sheep are known, for they are those who hear his voice and follow him. And the goats hear not his voice and do not follow. Have you heard his voice? Yes, his voice. Not a natural voice. This is not a natural voice. This is not simply a man that comes into a room and speaks. Many heard the Lord Jesus Christ when he walked upon the earth as a man. Many heard his teaching and his words, and they heard his voice, that natural voice. But they never heard with the heart in the inner man. They never truly heard the voice of the Son of God. Though they were dead, they never lived. For the dead hearing shall live. And when the dead hear the voice of the Son of God, they live. But it's not his natural voice as a man you need to hear. And it's not the voice of a preacher with a natural voice you need to hear. And it's not the words of God on the pages of Scripture which you need to read with a natural voice and hear. Do you need to hear the voice of the Son of God, the voice of the Shepherd? His voice. A supernatural voice. A spiritual voice. An inward voice. An inner voice. Not outward, but inward. Not earthly, but heavenly. That inward spiritual voice of the Son of God, of the Good Shepherd, of the shepherd of the sheep. This voice. And the sheep hear it. And not another. And the sheep hear and believe it. And they follow. Have you heard his voice? Do you hear it? Can you hear it? How can you hear it? Where can you hear it? You will hear it in one place. In the gospel. By those whom Christ sends to preach his gospel. By those who preach his gospel not in the words of man, but in the power and in the speech of the Spirit of God. By those who utter the words of that truth of God in the gospel. Not in word only, but as it were, as Christ speaks on high, as he sends forth his speech in almighty power by his Spirit, and as the Spirit takes the words off the lips of those men whom he sends, and utters it by the voice of his Spirit, that it goes into the heart of men, and enters in through the hardened hearts, and breaks in through the hard hearts, and goes in through the deaf ears, that guilty and vile and dead sinners may hear by the gospel. And the sheep hear this voice. And hearing the voice in the gospel they hear. And hearing they believe. And believing they follow. They don't contend. They don't doubt. They don't question. They hear and they believe. They receive and they follow. And they follow him who comes to find them. Him who found them when they were lost. Him who came to them in their lost estate. Him who found that sheep in the ditch and picked it up and put it upon his shoulders and took it back to the fold. They hear him. They recognize the voice of the shepherd, the good shepherd, the one who speaks tenderly unto them, the one who came unto them and found them, the one who picks them up and rescues them. This voice, this shepherd. But first they must be found. For these sheep, this sheep was lost. The goats are lost, yes. But the goats don't hear. And the goats remain lost. But Christ's sheep hear. Christ's sheep hear his voice. These are those who hear. And these are those who on hearing believe. And on hearing that voice coming unto them, they cry out. And they bleat and they cry out to that one who can lift them out of a ditch. And they cry out for mercy. They cry out to the one who comes to rescue. They bleat and they cry. And cry and they are found. For first, lost sheep must be found. And there is one who was sent to find the lost sheep of Israel. There is one who left the 99, but he might find the one. The one. He left the 99 in the fold, all that he might find one who was lost. One. All is done for one. All is done just for one lost sheep. Christ, as it were, left heaven's height. He left heaven's glory. He came into this world as a man, into a wretched and a wicked and a sinful world. He was beaten and rejected and cast out. He suffered untold torment, untold misery, untold rejection that we can never understand. He paid a price that we can never comprehend. He paid a great cost just for one. Just to save one sheep that was lost. All is done for one sheep. For one. For you? Was that one sheep you? Did he come into this world to rescue you? Were you? Are you? That one sheep, caught in a thorn bush, caught in a thicket, falling in a ditch, helpless, weak, your life fast ebbing away, your strength nearly gone, no means to get yourself out, no strength in yourself, helpless, weak and lost, except one should pluck you out. Is that, was that you? For the shepherd came, he left the 99, and he came for the one. He saved the one. And so in the gospel, not just then but now, not just in the parable but now, truly, spiritually in the gospel, the Spirit is sent forth to find the one. The Spirit is sent forth into the furthest corners of this world. And he comes with his gospel. He comes in search of that lost sheep. He comes to find them where'er they may be, where'er you may be this day. And he brings in the sound of the gospel. He brings the sound of the Saviour to them. He comes speaking of that shepherd which came for the sheep. And he comes and he speaks those words of the shepherd. He brings the voice of the shepherd to the sheep. And the shepherd and the sheep, where'er they are, hear that voice. They hear the voice and they call out to the voice and the voice calls out to them and they know the voice. And the shepherd comes to those sheep, to that sheep that is lost, and he comes to save. And the Spirit comes, and the Spirit comes in the gospel to declare what that shepherd did to save the sheep. For it cost the shepherd to save the sheep. It's not simple to save his sheep. It was not the work of a moment to save that one sheep. It took a great deal to save that sheep. When that shepherd came into this world for the saving of his flock, it cost him. He went to great lengths. The shepherd had to die. To save but one lost sheep, he had to die. And he had to suffer. And he was bruised. And he was beaten. The good shepherd was smitten for his own. As he says in Matthew 26, then saith Jesus unto them, with the approach of his death nigh, he says unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. The shepherd who would save the sheep would be smitten for the sheep. And when he was smitten, the sheep were scattered. For having been smitten, this shepherd would rise. For this shepherd had power to lay down his life. And he had power to take it again. And taking it again, he would rise from the dead. And rising from the dead, he would gather in that flock again. As one company. As one flock. But first the shepherd must be smitten. As Peter writes in 1 Peter 1:21 to 25, he writes, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Yes, the shepherd was smitten. The one who was without sin. The one in whose mouth was found no guile. The one who, when reviled by mankind, reviled not again. The one who, when he suffered, when he was threatened, he threatened not. But the one who was willing to lay down his life in the place of justice. The one who was willing to lay down his life for others, for his sheep. The one who was willing to die for those who should die. The one who was willing to bear the wrath of God against sin. Against the sin of those sheep who deserved to die. Who deserved the wrath of God for their sins. The shepherd was smitten. Why was he smitten? For the sheep. For what cause? Because of their sins. With what consequence? That he should bear their sins. That he should swallow up the wrath of God, the fires of God against those sins. And against their sin. Against their corruption. That he might take it away. The shepherd was smitten. With what end? That he should save those sheep which were lost. That he should wash their sins. That he should wash them from head to toe. That he should take their sins away of these black sheep. These guilty sheep. These lost sheep. These wayward sheep. These sheep that sought not God. That loved not God. That wanted not God. These sheep who were lost. He died. He was smitten. That he might save them. that he might wash them, that he might find them, that he might deliver them. And in so doing, he saved those sheep for whom he came. He saved those who were lost. He saved them. When he was smitten, when he died, he saved them. He really saved them. And when he saved them, and when he found them in saving them, when he did that which was necessary to save them, that which was necessary to reconcile them to their Maker, that which was necessary that he might deliver them from their lost condition, that he might be able to rescue them from those ditches and those thorns and those brambles into which they had fallen, and to bring them out and to put their feet upon a rock, to put them onto a safe highway, and to lead them by the still waters, to lead them into pastures, that he might lead them in a safe way. When he did that which was necessary to save them, he rejoiced in their salvation. He rejoiced, he took them up, he found them, and he put them upon their shoulders, that he might lead them home, that he might gather them as one flock. And having saved them, will he lose them? Will he lose that one for whom he left the 99? Will he lose him? No. No, none shall be plucked from his hand. None shall perish, no. He laid down his life for this one for whom he would die, that one whom he would save, that one whom he would find. He laid down his life. Then will he lose him? No. He took him up and he put him upon his shoulders and he gathered him and he brings him back to the 99 and he brings him back to the sheepfold and he gathers him with the flock that they might follow the shepherd in all things. And being gathered, they hear his voice. They believe his word. They follow him. For as we read in Isaiah 40, behold, the Lord God will come with strong hands, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather his lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. He shall come with strong arm, with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. He shall lead his flock like a shepherd. Yes, Christ leads his flock. He saves them. He leads them, he protects them, he keeps his sheep like David, he feeds them. As we read of David and Samuel, David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. So Christ, born at Bethlehem, came into this world to save his sheep, his father's sheep, and he gathers that sheep in as one flock, that he might gather them in and lead them and feed them. Yes, Christ keeps his sheep. He's no hireling. He doesn't flee when the wolf comes. He's the good shepherd. And the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He's that a hireling and not the shepherd. His own the sheep are not. He sees the wolf coming because he's an hireling and careth not for the sheep. But the good shepherd knows his sheep, and he's known of them. As the Father knoweth me, says he, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Yes, child of God, sheep of his pasture. The good shepherd leads his sheep. He feeds his sheep. He protects his sheep. He shall never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's the good shepherd. Oh, I ask you this day, are you a sheep? Are you a goat? Are you one of his sheep? Have you heard his voice? Can you hear him this day? Can you hear his voice? His voice calling in the gospel. Can you hear his voice? This day, this hour, do you hear his voice? Then follow him. Follow the shepherd. Follow him. Follow him. Follow him.